afternoon, everyone. My name is Matthew Roy. I'm going to be your moderator today. I was supposed to be your co-moderator and introduce Olney, but actually I was I'm not able to share my screen, even though usually I'm able to do it. So Olney will be my backup, and we'll show the pre-recorded videos for people who would like to make it pre-recorded. So this session is entitled "Empirical Studies around the SOC." Yeah, SOC and Health Empirical Studies. So we are supposed to have 6 poster presentations. 5 of them are pre-recorded videos. What I propose is to make all the presentation and to have a big question session after that. So is it correct for everyone? So no reaction, I guess it's yes. I think the only person who would like to do it in live is Uni Karine. Okay. Would you like to begin?
Matthew, yeah. Luis, he asked to do a live presentation as well, right, Luis?
If it's possible, yeah.
Okay, no problem. So let's begin by Uni, and Luis, you'll be the second.
Perfect, yeah.
So I think Uni, it's a pleasure to have you with us this afternoon. So I will... I pass you the stage.
Yeah, I guess I.
Yeah, you can share
screen. Is it okay? Does it look okay?
Yes, it's perfect. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. My name is Unni Karin Moxnes. I'm from Norwegian University of Health and Technology in Trondheim, Norway, and also represent NTNU Center for Health Promotion Research. I'm going to do a presentation on the relations between sensor coherence, stress, social demographic factors, and well-being in Norwegian adolescents aged 13 to 19 years. So the aim of this study was to investigate associations between social demographic factors, that means sex, age, socioeconomic status, stress, sensor coherence, and the outcome of well-being. And also to investigate the potential moderating role of sex on the association between stress, sensor coherence, and well-being. So this is a cross-sectional study based on 1,233 adolescents in the age of 13 to 19 years. Data was collected in 2016. And to assess sensor coherence, we use the 13-item version of the Orientation to Life questionnaire of Antonovsky. And stress was assessed with the 30-item version of the Adolescent Stress Questionnaire. And well-being was assessed using the 14-item Warwick Mental Well-being Scale. And the life satisfaction was used to assess well-being too, using a 5-item version of the Satisfaction with Life Scale. And to assess socioeconomic status, we assessed adolescents' perception of their family economy and also the parents' education. Yeah, so to say a little about the results, when we did a regression, a multiple linear regression analysis, and to sum up the results, they show that when looking at the socio-demographic factors, age and perceived from family economy associated significantly with well-being. That means that adolescents perceiving that the family economy was stronger also reported higher levels of well-being. And the same was with age, showing a negative association that well-being decreased somewhat with higher age. When looking at sensor coherence, we found a significant positive and moreover strong association with both life satisfaction and mental well-being when controlling for the socio-demographic factors and stressors. And we also found a significant interaction effect of sex by stress in association with mental well-being, where the association was strongest for girls. So to sum up and conclude, moreover, the findings, they show support for the significant role of sensory coherence as a significant resource in relation to adolescents' perceived well-being when controlling for social demographic factors and stressors in their daily life. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
So maybe you can just...
That was 3 minutes. Yeah.
That's perfect. We'll
stop sharing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pass the stage to Luis now.
Okay, so I'll share my screen.
And if you're not, yes, perfect.
Yeah, can you see the presentation? Okay, nice. Just to introduce the topic, the construct of the sense of coherence, originally proposed by Antonovsky, can be measured through the shortened version of 13 items. However, there's a lack of evidence supporting its reliability in general population, and no previous work has validated a Catalan version of this questionnaire. So we aimed to assess the reliability of a Catalan version of the 13-item questionnaire and check how it fits the original three-factor structure. So to that aim, we analyzed responses of 570 participants located in the province of Girona in Catalonia, in Spain. And these individuals arise from a representative sample of the population, aged 50 years and older. And we assessed the internal reliability using the Cronbach's alpha and the Goodman's split half coefficient. And to assess the three-factor structure, we performed a confirmatory factor analysis to validate the original three-factor structure. So here we have the results. Regarding the internal reliability, the results yielded the Cronbach's alpha coefficient of 0.86 within a 95% confidence interval of 0.85 and 0.88. So this value falls within the acceptable range of this coefficient, that is between 0.70 and 0.95, because a higher value of this coefficient would suggest redundancy for some items of the questionnaire. So it's a nice value. And the Goodman's split half coefficient was 0.86, suggesting also a good reliability. And regarding the three-factor structure, we performed the confirmatory factor analysis, and it yielded an acceptable fit of the model after adjusting for some correlations between the items, apart from the correlations we have between the factor by themselves. And that's all. In conclusion, we can say that the Catalan questionnaire gets this three-factor structure in an acceptable manner, and that it has internal reliability. So that's the our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you to you. So it was perfect, even though you make it in life.
Yeah, but in life it's like more dynamic, so it just...
It's always better to make a live presentation. Would you like to be the next only, or...
I will open here, okay?
Perfect.
Just a second. Can you see?
I see it. I'm pretty sure everyone see it too. Is it okay with you? Oh, you would like to start the video, okay. But we don't hear the presentation all night.
No?
No.
Why?
We see the slide, but we cannot hear when you talk on your video.
I will stop and start again, okay?
Okay.
Can you see it?
We see it, but
okay, I will start to play.
Okay. We see it, but we don't hear you. So you're gonna have to perform it like Louis.
Okay. I'm going to try the other one, maybe. Let's see, because the record is very low. Let's try another one.
But I'm pretty sure you will be able to make it.
Let's see this one, if it works.
Did you upload it?
Yes.
Because we only see your folder. Nothing's happened.
Can you hear?
No, we hear nothing and we don't see your presentation.
You see it, but you don't hear.
We hear nothing and we see nothing.
It's much better you present your research, I think, by yourself.
So you want me to just read the presentation, is that?
Yeah, just present your work. Maybe you can try to share the screen with the first, with your PowerPoint and to just talk about your research.
Okay, my one, right?
Yeah, okay.
Just a second. This was completely.
Maybe it's better someone else start presenting and then.
Is there another presenter in the room?
I will. Just a second.
Because it left Olney, Julien, Zoe Herreras, and Vanessa Vinas Diaz, which are all pre-recorded videos.
I have the Vanessa's video.
Okay. Would you like to share it?
Okay.
If you want.
Yeah.
You can share.
Thank you.
You see it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Gender and sense of coherence of family caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease. Most patients with dementia receive the necessary care from their relatives. Continued care usually has negative consequences, especially in women, who tend to provide more intensive care for longer periods. In caregivers of people with dementia, a high sense of coherence has been considered a predictor of good mental health and quality of life. Although some research has found a higher SOC score in men, other studies did not find significant gender differences. There are resistant resources that contribute favorably to developing a sense of coherence, for example, social support, older age, self-efficacy. Based on all of these, the study's objective was to compare the effect of personal traits on the assessment of the sense of coherence and its three dimensions, and identify gender differences among family caregivers. Regarding the methodology, the sample consists of 555 family caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease. The caregivers' personal characteristics that influence the sense of coherence and its three dimensions were identified through correlation and linear regression analysis, and a structural equation model was created and applied to the sample according to gender. As a result, we saw that no gender differences were observed in the sense of coherence score or in its dimensions. The older age contributed to a better comprehensibility and manageability. The lower use of passive coping strategies influenced the comprehensibility and, in women, also the manageability. Social support was associated with manageability and, in women, also with meaningfulness. In women, self-efficacy correlated with higher comprehensibility and meaningfulness, and in men with more intensity in all of the three dimensions. Personality traits were only significant when the model was applied to women for extraversion and neuroticism. Therefore, as conclusions, social support, self-efficacy, use of passive coping, and personality traits had different associations with SOC according to gender. Comprehensibility was considered a predictor of better manageability and meaningfulness, and in women, manageability also influenced meaningfulness.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Virtual,
thank you, Vanessa.
I will try to perform mine here, okay?
Let's go.
Can you see it?
Perfect, yeah, thank you.
It's very small, or is it just on my screen maybe? Sorry.
So we see it.
You cannot see anything?
Yeah, we see it. You can present. But we don't hear you. You're gonna have to talk.
Not here?
Yeah.
You cannot hear?
No, I will try to present something else.
I can.
You're not able to make it with your voice?
I can just do it. I can do it.
I think it's gonna be better if you do it.
Okay, so let's start to do it.
Yeah.
This poster is about a study about the sense of coherence and self-esteem and in children and adolescents. We realized that there are increased rate of mental and behavioral health problems in adolescents in the European region. And this and the individual characteristics and some other contextual factors contribute to the onset of behavioral and mental problems. And we realized that the gap between the need for treatment and this provision is wide all over the world. So we intend to analyze the sense of coherence and the self-esteem among children and adolescents in respect to their academic achievement in a salutogenic perspective. So we hypothesize that there is a relationship between sense of coherence and school performance, and that high sense of coherence and high self-esteem will be associated, will enhance sense of coherence. And we use a descriptive and associational cross-sectional design. Data was collected in Szeged, Hungary, and a sample comes from a clinical in and outpatient children and adolescents from the Child Psychiatry Unit of Szeged University. The sample was composed by 45 participants. Their age was from 11 to 18 years. And the instruments used were the sense of coherence scale, the self-esteem scale, and we also measured the school performance associated with the grade average of all participants, and also by the grades in mathematics and in language from the previous school year. The results showed that the mean of sense of coherence was low for children and adolescents. 38.9% of children reported low sense of coherence, and 66.7% of the adolescents showed low sense of coherence as well. We also find out that the self-esteem was low. 46.5% of the sample had low scores on self-esteem. Males scored higher than females, and the mean grade average was 3.8 for the whole sample. The lowest grade was in mathematics, grammar and literature, and participants in the general had a medium to high school performance. So no significant association were found, no differences were found between the age groups or by genders. I think that the most important part is that, and in general, participants showed low sense of coherence and low self-esteem, which suggests difficulties to handle daily stressors, negative life events, psychological and behavioral problems, but not yet affecting the school performance. This is the most general findings of our study. This study is still ongoing, it's just preliminary results. So that's it, thank you very much. And I'm going to stop.
Thank you, Alne. That was nice.
Thank you.
Now, can you share the Julien Michaud Tétrault video?
Yes. Let's go to the Julien. Sorry.
No problem.
I have to first close this. Exit. Okay. So let's hear Julien. Just a second.
Do you find it?
I found it, but for some reason, I want to go out. Matthew, do you have the poster in your computer?
Yeah, but I don't know if people will see it.
But try it, because I'm trying here, sorry.
I'm actually sharing the video. People are, does people see it?
No.
Ah, shit. Did you hear it?
Okay, sorry. I will try to do it.
The session will end in 6 minutes. So I think this is your PowerPoint, Luna.
Yes.
And when I share my screen, people don't see the video.
Just 1 second.
Share screen. Yeah, go. Okay, maybe you can try with the other one. We are supposed to present. The one of Zoe Herreras. Did you have it with you?
This is the poster of Julian.
Yeah, we have to show the poster of Julian and the poster of Zoe Herreras.
Okay, so the poster of Julian is, the title is the sense of coherence linked to multimorbidity, a population-based study? The context, multimorbidity is a growing public health priority. Age, lifestyle, habits, and socioeconomic status are now correlates to multimorbidity. Less is known about associated psychosocial factors. The salutogenic model of health and the concept of sense of coherence might help in this regard. The objectives of the study describe the distribution of sense of coherence and multimorbidity according to socio-demographic and lifestyle characteristics. And second, you did that?
Okay, you can continue. I try to share my screen.
But I cannot read it.
Oh, sorry.
I cannot read it.
No, just continue because we have 4 minutes.
Okay, the objective is assess the association between sense of coherence and multimorbidity at a population level. And they use it a secondary analysis of cross-sectional phone and web-based population survey. And they study 10,000 individuals in Canada, Quebec, and the individuals range from 25 to 64. And they have the multimorbidity variables, sense of coherence, and socio-demographic and the lifestyle data are were used as variables. And they did descriptive statistics and multivariate logistic regression.
So you read it?
Yes, because they have this model, education, household income, sense of coherence, and the use of tobacco, physical activity, and diet, and also multimorbidity.
Right.
And then the conclusions. In a large population survey, multimorbidity and sense of coherence were distributed according to the socioeconomic status. A weaker sense of coherence was positively associated with multimorbidity, independent of age, socioeconomic status, household size, and lifestyle habits. They emphasized the relevance of considering psychosocial factors when studying multimorbidity, and a salutogenic approach to multimorbidity could lead to a more understanding of its psychosocial correlates. This is for conclusions. And then they have some recommendations, but the conclusions
are. Thank you, Olna. That's so nice to read it for him.
Thank you very much.
Sorry for all this. Technical problems this morning. Right now I have to go because I moderate the session in 1 minute. So I don't know if you want to stay there for people if they have questions for each other only, but in my case, I have to leave. I'm very sorry. You're so nice to do it if people want. And sorry all for everything. So now I must go for me. Okay, Olne?
Thank you very much.
Thank you to you.
I would like to ask if someone has questions. We have 5 minutes and maybe some of you have questions or I don't know. I am really sorry for this situation. It was completely unexpected and we don't know because we downloaded the material or recorded presentation here in my computer and in the computer of Matthew. And neither me, neither him, we could handle that because I am able to play the presentation, but you don't hear. I don't know why. And I cannot connect here. I try to connect to the administrator, but for some reason I cannot. Oh, here, the administrator. But okay, but do you have some questions? I have a question. If nobody has a question, I'd like to make a question to Karin, for example. Karin, you presented your study and you find out that there was a strong association for girls. And what do you think would be the reason for that? Why just for girls? And what is the comparison between boys and girls?
Thank you for that question. Well, I'm not sure. We see that also in reference to symptoms of depression, that there is a stronger association between sense of coherence and the symptoms, negative emotional symptoms for girls. And maybe, I guess there are complexities and different reasons for this, but maybe girls are more likely to internalize thoughts, feelings, and also maybe it has to do with gender roles, and also how it is maybe easier for girls to report on these aspects in a survey questionnaire. There are may also be biases there. How are questions asked and how do boys perceive the questions the same way? So maybe it has to do something with them. Maybe girls think differently about themselves, are more likely to internalize compared to boys, but also how girls and boys report in surveys. But maybe that has are some of the aspects included.
Thank you very much for your answer. And I have been studying about children and adolescents, and the literature usually says that there is this difference, this kind. Some authors find different results, but majority of authors find this significant difference between boys and girls.
Mm. And also in levels of SOC and yeah, and also in levels of mental health and well-being.
Okay. Mm. Some other questions? So all
there's one question in the chat.
Oh, Vanessa.
How was multimorbidity defined? Yes.
How is multimorbidity defined? The author is not here, but as I read in his poster, multimorbidity is it is a condition in which the patient has a lot of let's say symptoms, a lot of let's say disease, because it's multimorbidity, just kind of a condition in which the patient has a lot of, let's say, symptoms, let's say a group of disease together, multimorbidity. But it's my answer because the author is not here. Someone would like to add something else?
I was just curious about your presentation, Luis, response.
Yeah.
Sorry for my pronounce your name. Yeah, I was interested in your validation study, and the overall model seemed to fit good.
Yeah.
But also the chi-square measure. Oh, your mesh, the chi-square results, it's difficult to have a non-significant p-value there, or how the overall model fit to the data.
Sorry, I'll share my...
The chi-square test?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
This one?
Mm-hmm.
In the residual mean squared of error approximation, yeah. So,
the chi square.
Yeah, it was. No, we had no chi square here.
Okay.
Okay, we pronounced it chi, so I didn't know which, but then I realized no, we did not. It is not that kind of statistic.
Okay.
Okay. So the idea of having a good model fit is this indicator is the root mean squared error. The optimal value is supposed to be under 0.05 to say you have a good fit.
Mm.
In our case, after including more correlations, you get a better fit, so you get a better indicator. So we added some correlation between some items till we have a reasonable fit. We cannot say that it's a good fit, it's a reasonable fit.
Mm.
And yeah, if we would add more correlation, we would have a better fit, no? But it's a compromise between a good model and not overfitting this model to the data, adding more parameters. Yeah. Mm. This is the indicator that states how good is the confirmatory factor analysis model, as well as the CFY,
yeah,
that it's 0.93, and I think the threshold value is about 0.9, 0.95, so it's supposed to be supposed to yield a good fit with.
But I also thought that one reports the overall test of the chi-square value when doing a confirmatory factor analysis.
I should check, but I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I will...
Because that's the overall fit of...
I mean, that is an indicator of the overall fit of the model, of the confirmatory factor analysis.
Mm.
I don't know if the problem is we used M+, to do
clear
it.
Sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if it yields the chi squared to, but it could. I'm not sure.
I'm used to have that output when doing.
Okay, yeah. So probably we'll have.
Yeah, but that's yeah, just something I.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so everybody, I'd like to thank everybody for your understanding, for your comprehension. And it was very nice to have you here. And I wish you a good luck in your participation of the conference and in your professional lives as well. So have a nice day. Thank you very much and see you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.